The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind these enemy lines I call USA Inc. It is a Monday afternoon here in North Carolina. Today's date is August the 8th, 2016. I tell you, this year has really been going by so fast. I know people say that a lot, but I mean, I'm really noticing how fast this year has been going by. Today is an hour of news and commentary. If you would like to share any news or any views that you may have about anything, give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit star 6 and 1 to be brought on air. You can also hit us up via the studio line, which is 704-951-5030. Again, that's 704-951-5030. Before I get to some of the news items that I want to share with you during the next hour, just want to give some news related to the media operations of Black Talk Media Project, the North Carolina-based nonprofit new media organization, which is the manager of Black Talk Radio Network. I know last week I had mentioned on air, we've been having this conversation a long time, particularly black people. Let's go ahead and take this call. We got a call coming in right off the bat. I think I know who this is. I think this may be Brother Ralph. Is this you, Brother Ralph?
Yes, sir, Brother Scotty. Just wanted to call you and let you know that your broadcast across TuneIn is coming in real bad.
Yeah, so, what you have to do, that's something on TuneIn that's been reported to us. What the people have to do is refresh that screen. That's what they, it's nothing. Okay. It's nothing we can do on this end. I don't know what's going on with TuneIn, and I wouldn't even. I suspect it may be something done on purpose just to interfere with us. I don't know, Brother Ralph.
All right. Well, I'll go in from the other website just to make sure. The show is going across smoothly on the other website.
Okay.
All right, Brother Scotty.
Okay, thank you for that report, Brother Ralph.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's a problem that had been reported to me before. A listener had actually called me on my cell phone and let me listen to what they were hearing, and it, you know, sounded like the stream was really, really sped up, and that was on TuneIn. So he refreshed the screen, and it started playing normally. So that's something going on with TuneIn. I don't know what it could be. Because all you do is submit the URL to your stream, and it shouldn't be speeding up, it shouldn't be slowing down. So I don't know what's going on TuneIn. That's the only report that I ever get about problems listening to the stream. But as Brother Ralph said, you can come to blacktalkradionetwork.com, where we have our own media player on the site, a big green media player. It's on all the pages, and you can listen to Black Talk Radio Network station and other stations. And I've never had a problem with people reporting problems with that particular media player. So I'm convinced that it is an issue specific to TuneIn. Now, getting back to what I was talking about, you know, last week, and we've been having this long-running conversation. I don't know how long black folks been talking about getting off of Facebook and stop, you know, making Mark Zuckerberg rich and all of that kind of stuff, and, you know, complaining about how people can flag your post and then you're thrown in Facebook jail, meaning that you're suspended for a week. I've been suspended on Facebook before for about, I think it was like a week long they had suspended me and over some nonsense. And so anyway, as I mentioned last week, if somebody would step up and donate, you know, some of the money that's needed to purchase the software, right after I got off air, that person made their donation. Then you had another donation come in earmarked for our own Facebook. So I have deployed it. It has been launched. I've been working on it for 3 days now, and it's pretty much functional. It's a whole lot I have yet to do, but in terms of making posts, in terms of important videos and other type of stuff, it's fully functional. It's just some little things, little bugs that I need to work out, and there's an issue with uploading videos. You can import videos, but I'm having an issue with uploading the video. So it's still a work in progress. It is in beta. But the point is, it's there now. It is there. And, you know, the people who have donated have been added as members. I have not gotten through the entire donors list to add them all as members, but this will be a closed network. This will not be open to the public. You will not be able to go to the website and find a registration form, because there's not a registration form in there. Now, for those who are not donors that want to, you know, join Black Facebook, you know, I don't call it that, but, you know, anyway, if you want to join this new closed social networking community, you can do so by either getting a subscription for $5 a month or $2 a month by making annual subscription of $24 a month. Now, that's chump change, really. You know, that's really chump change for us to have something of our own where we are not throwing people in jail and booting them off and stuff like that. And, you know, you ain't got to worry about me cooperating with police or anything like that. Not that anything illegal is going to be going on in our network, but, you know, just trying to make it more secure, make it a safer place for Black people specifically. And so we'll see how it grows and whatnot, or if people just like complaining about Facebook, and then when there's something else available, you know, they stay on Facebook. Now, I'm not abandoning Facebook. I do have Facebook pages. We send reports out on how many people we reach through our Facebook pages for either Black Talk Radio Network and some of the other pages usually associated with radio programs on this network. So I still will be sending posts out, you know, regularly on that. But in terms of me using Facebook personally and making personal posts, then nah, you'll be able to find me on community.blacktalkradionetwork.com. I gotta make that move. You know, if I'm gonna talk the talk, I gotta walk the walk. All right, so other than the pages that we use for our various platforms that I can set up to post automatically, I won't be using them. I will not. I'm going to be focused on building up our own community. And by the time I'm done with it, you know, it will look very, 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 very similar to Facebook and work very similar. It already does. You know, my daughter was pretty happy with it and what have you, as she was on it on her iPad as we were checking the network and how it displays on different devices. And it worked beautifully, you know, on the iPad that she has. And so, but I still got a lot of work to do. So I just, you know, definitely want to let people know that, you know, I appreciate people stepping up and donating the money that I needed for the software. And so, you know, I'm stepping up and continuing to build these safe digital spaces for black people. If black people don't come to them, then oh well, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not trying to unify with everybody. I'm only trying to unify with people with like minds that aren't always looking for something for free and want to become part of this media movement that we started 8 years ago. So $2 a month, you know, that is not much. $24 a year, you probably spend that on sodas and chewing gum and a bag of chips or something like that. Probably way more than that in a year. So, you know, if you're wondering why it has a PayPal button on it and that's the only way you could join, well, that's why. That's why. You know, I appreciate all the donors that we have. But to be honest with you, we've raised less than 2,000, well, just a little over, well, I had to go back and look, but let's just say a little over $2,000 for the entire year for our budget, you know, to maintain all the things that we are doing, which leads me into another platform update. At any moment, the radio streams may go down, and that includes, you know, the radio streams of our clients. And here is the reason why. All right, I operate a virtual private server. For those that don't know what that is, that's a server that you operate on another machine. All right, because we don't have the funds to, you know, build a data center. That equipment is so expensive, you know what I'm saying? So we have to use third-party services and whatnot. So when I set up the virtual private server to install the radio broadcasting software on, you know, that was like, what, 3 years ago? 3 years ago when I set up the server that we're on now, that company's going out of business. They're going out of business, so that means I'm going to lose that VPS. And they're going out of business because people weren't supporting their business. So, you know, people don't support you, then you go out of business. All right. And that's something we're trying to prevent here. But I have already set up another virtual private server. I installed the software on it, but I'm running into some bugs. I've done everything I could do on my end, and I'm still waiting on them on their end to rectify some issues and what have you. So if the radio stream goes down, that's the reason why. I'm trying to work feverishly to get, you know, this new server set up in time so that we don't, you know, miss any, go off air for any amount of time. But some of the things are out of my control. But I've already installed it. I've already added the accounts to it for our different clients. And so I'm just waiting to hear from them why some of the stuff ain't working properly. And then I'll be able to transfer the streams out. You know, I hate to lose this company that's going out of business. They have been good to me. They have treated me well. They have always gotten back to me in a timely manner whenever there were issues. They even put up with us when they knew, you know, that our virtual private server was the source of people hacking because they want to take down Black Talk Radio. And they even dealt with that, you know, worked with me on that. So, you know, I hate that they going out of business, but what can I do? You know, what can I do? So anyway, that may occur during this week. You may notice that all the streams will be going down like they did when we got hacked a couple of weeks ago. And so this new virtual private server I've set up, I'm upgrading the radio software to a newer version that will help prevent that type of stuff. You know, it makes it more secure, the software that I'm upgrading to. So I didn't even mean to say all of that, but I just wanted to update people, you know, especially our donors, who tune in to this program and other programs, and let y'all know what's going on with the platform. So we may experience some interruptions in our operations, but just know that I am not going to stop until, you know, everything is right and get it back running. You know, I hate to go through these pains like this. You know, I'm when I first set up this platform, just all the work, and you know, I'm just so tired even right now. You know, but you know, just want to let you know that we may go down for a little bit, but we will not be out, and I'm hoping we don't even go down. All right, so let me move on to the news items of the day that I want to discuss with you. You know, I was on Facebook last week. Was it last week? Yeah, it was last week. And so the you know how Facebook has sent out these status messages of its own, and they were talking about, you know, the 2016 Olympic Games, and I, you know, posted on there. I was like, I'm not watching the Olympics. I'm not supporting it. I'm not supporting the corporations that's going to profit from it. I'm not supporting the Olympic Committee. I'm just not supporting this because a whole bunch of people got harmed as a result of this. People in Brazil are suffering. They are really suffering in Brazil. Police violence, murders, terrorism, being targeted for the prison plantation. You know, I think Brazil may have the largest population of African descended people outside of Africa, and I mean they are just really being, you know, suffering under racism and white supremacy. And so the Olympic Games has inflicted some of that white supremacist harm on them. So that's a story I definitely want to look at. I hope you're not watching it on TV. And I'm a sports guy. I like sports. I was very active in sports when I was in school, even when I was in the military, and once I even got out, until I suffered a back injury to where I could not, you know, run up and down that basketball court no more like I used to. So, you know, but I still enjoy watching sports, and well, I don't spend money on them. I don't spend no money on no pay-per-view. I don't, you know, spend no money going to any kind of professional games. I've only been to one professional game in my life, and that's because the dentist gave me some tickets, some free tickets, and so me and my buddy went. But I don't spend money on stuff like that. I will watch it on TV, but I ain't got nothing against athletes. I don't have anything against sports in general. I definitely ain't got nothing against athletes being paid millions of dollars, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, I ain't got a problem because a lot of them aren't reinvesting that back into the community and trying to help people who need help the most. So I ain't got a problem with that. But when they start harming people and it's causing, you know, a lot of damage like we see in Brazil, then no, I can't watch it on TV because that's rewarding those who are advertising during that block of programming. That's rewarding the people who are going to profit off the Olympics and what have you. So, you know, I definitely want to share some information about that. Also, the Green Party nominated human rights activist Ajumu Baraka to be Dr. Jill Stein's vice presidential running mate during the Green Party's convention, which was held in Houston, Texas over the weekend. You will start hearing more about the Green Party on this network. You may even hear more about the Libertarian Party. In terms of the Republicans and the Democrats, I just don't want to feed them any kind of energy whatsoever. I don't want to give them any kind of coverage. I will be reporting any more crimes that have been uncovered that Hillary Clinton has committed. Donald Trump, we know all there is to know about him. We know that he practiced housing discrimination back in the 70s and back in the 80s and all this other nonsense that he's saying. It's not even newsworthy. So why even talk about it? You know, I understand what Dave say when he talk about we be feeding, giving energy to stuff that we shouldn't be giving our energy to. And too many of us are giving our energy talking about damn Donald Trump. You know, he's a buffoon, he's a clown, and he is playing a role so that Hillary Clinton can be ushered in as the CEO of USA Inc. So I'm not going to waste my time talking about the latest outrageous thing that he said or stupid thing that he said. You want to do that, you can do that. I don't think it's newsworthy. All right, so also here is something I do find to be newsworthy. Olo Stevens, and I'm, you know, shortening his name, but he is a circuit court judge in Louisville, Kentucky. He made some headlines not that long ago. It was earlier this year. He made some headlines by dismissing an all-white jury and calling out the prosecutor, basically accusing him of practicing racism, white supremacy in his jury selections, because there were, you know, and he just got tired of seeing it. He got tired of seeing all these all-white juries sending black folks to prison slavery and what have you. And so he took a stand. Well, they, of course, came at him to do damage to him. And so he accepted he's going to be suspended. And I will share the details with you on that. So this kind of goes to the question about joining them and working from the inside, and just go to show you, man, you know, again, I'm not telling anybody what to do. I'm even considering running for state political office where I am, you know. Damn, you know, for me to do that, though, I will have to have a staff for the media operations of the Black Talk Media Project, because I'm already overextended as it is. But you know, I'm not saying, you know, don't join the police, slave catchers. I ain't saying, you know, don't run for a political office and what have you. I'm not saying, you know, don't try to change these institutions from the inside. But just know, though, that, you know, when you do, what's going to come? Because it's the system. You know, I mean, it's people in the system, but, I mean, it's a lot of racist white supremacists in these positions of power. So you buck up against the system, they gonna buck back against you. And that is what's happening. Just like in this other story I'm finding about residents who are questioning the timing of a misconduct charge by state prosecutors 6 months after former police chief Kelvin Sewell filed a lawsuit against the city. And I could have wrote that a little better. This is where, I don't know, I'm not sure. Damn, Scotty, why did you not tell him where, put in here where this was? So I will have that information. There's actually a video that we can take a listen to on that. So again, and then like Freddie Vincent, the Cincinnati police officer who was on social media, and he posted telling black people, please comply with these police officers, because these white officers are looking for a reason to kill you. So please comply. Don't give them a reason. Don't, because they looking for a reason. Don't get, I mean, they'll just make up some crap, but I'm just letting you know, please, please, please don't mouth off at them. Don't, you know, thinking that, you know, you can outrun the slave catchers, because you can't, unless you lead the country. You ain't outrunning these slave catchers. So he just, from his perspective, he tired of seeing black people getting killed and knowing that it's racist on these police departments and whatnot. Well, what happened to him? He's being investigated now to see if his social media post, again, people saying we need to get off of their networks and get off of their stuff and whatnot, but he posted that to their stuff and somebody saw it and reported him, and now he's being investigated to see if he violated policy. See, if he was part of community.blacktalkradionetwork.com, he could have said whatever he wanted to say, you know, and he could have made up a fake name and not used his real name, you know, because, you know, Facebook started making people use their real name so that the police and the intelligence services can more readily identify who you are so they can target you. So people will know your name, know where you work and all that kind of stuff, so they can get you fired, so they can report you. So, you know, but again, you know, it's changing stuff on the inside, man. We don't have enough people on the inside to band together to cause a disruption or to have each other's backs and what have you. It's too many races in there, and it's too many proxy races in there. So those are some of the stories. Again, If you have anything you like to share or comment on, give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit *61 to comment on air. The studio line is 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. And there's also a web-based flash phone, so there's no shortage of ways that you can get your voice out there to our listening audience. So in Brazil, you know, this is a story I have been following, probably to be reported on this very program, about how they were displacing poor black people, poor non-white people, because I didn't see anybody that could be classified as white living in these, you know, I hate to call them slums, but that's what they were. They were slums, but it was a home. It was home. You know, if you homeless, you know, hell, I bet you some of them homeless people are happy for cardboard boxes and what have you to keep the rain off their heads and whatnot. But so what they was calling like a little, these shanty towns, which I've seen them, you know, I remember when I first went to Mexico, man, down there in Nogales, Mexico, I was like, man, those buildings look like sheds, man. They look like a tool shed that you would find on a farm or something like that, you know, just thrown together with pieces of aluminum and what have you. And but you know, the people got to live how they, the best they can. They have to do the best they can, especially when a system is designed to prevent them from doing the very best that they can. So anyway, I had been reporting, you know, as they were bulldozing and arresting and beating and kicking these people out of their homes so that they could tear their homes down and build the Olympic Village where all these athletes going to come stay, and you know, the very so-called important people, the VIPs and all of that. And you know, there were damn near riots, man. Well, there were riots. People were mad because they were trying to make the poor pay for it by putting a tax on public transportation, putting extra taxes on public transportation, and trying to build all this on the backs of the poor. See, the rich don't, that's how they stay rich. They don't use their money. They use your money. Okay? All these corporations and all of, you think that these people, these founders and CEOs pull themselves up by their bootstraps? I'm not saying some of them didn't, but in most cases they did not. They got government subsidies, they got special kind of tax breaks and all this and that, you know, they and so they will subsidize these kind of sporting events and what have you, because then they're looking at all the people that's going to come and spend money, and then, you know, the government will get money through taxes and what have you. But guess what? Who never benefits? The poor people don't never benefit. So this has been a long-standing issue ever since Brazil got picked to host the Olympic Games. So anyway, there have been demonstrations in different cities all over Brazil. Protests broke out in São Paulo, the country's largest city, where mobs, and I'm reading from the dailymail.co.uk, so we had to be careful when they, you know, use certain types of words and what have you. So anyway, I wouldn't call them mobs, okay? I would call them angry citizens, all right? So they've been demonstrating against the overspending on the Olympic Games during one of the country's worst economic crises since the 1930s, man. Since the 1930s. I tell you, man, and why is that? Well, that's because of the global bankers. Remember 2008? People still suffering from that. Y'all can believe that nonsense about an economic recovery and pat Barack Obama on the back like he done did something. They ain't did nothing, man. This affected the whole entire planet, and people are suffering as a result. So when I hear people, oh, you know, patting Barack Obama, giving him some kudos, and he recovered the economy. No, the hell he didn't. And that ain't the president's job anyway. So anyway, let me move on. But they've been hitting these people with tear gas, arresting them. Let me see. There's lots of pictures. There's even some video on dailymail.co.uk. They're burning flags, burning the Brazilian flag and what have you, facing off with the Brazilian slave catchers and you know, state-sponsored terrorists and what have you. It says that adding to the country's woes, Brazil is currently experiencing its worst recession since the 1930s and is battling a Zika epidemic. Now, I know a lot of people are saying this Zika is man-made, and it quite possibly is. A lot of these viruses and stuff are even patented, you know, and you can find out what company owns the patent. I can't remember that particular virus. It was the last big scare that they had, and turns out that I forget the company. It was a well-known company that owned that particular virus. Matter of fact, I think Bill Gates, the Gates Foundation, owned that damn virus. So I'm not saying who did what. I'm not saying, but I do know people are being affected by this. All right, so it says the Olympics themselves have also caused outrage, with locals angry at the spiraling costs in the demolition of housing to make way for the games complex in Barra de Tijuco. So it appears that what we call gentrification, especially gentrification of black neighborhoods, is a worldwide thing. It's a worldwide thing. So, you know, my heart goes out to the people of Brazil, the poor people of Brazil that's out there, you know, confronting the slave catchers in the street, trying to disrupt the 2016 Olympics. I hope that you are successful. Block the streets, all of this and that, you know, because, you know, it's just not right. It's just not right that so many people should suffer just so some people can watch some damn games or attend some games and what have you. So I hope that you all are not watching the Olympics. I promise you I will not watch. I usually don't even watch anyway, but I will watch some of these black gymnasts, you know, Gabby Douglas, you know, the last time around made big waves and whatnot, because I enjoy athletes. I understand what it takes being a former athlete, the dedication, the skill, and all of that. I would watch, like, I never watched the basketball games because they're all boring and blowouts and stuff. But I would watch track and field, watch the 200-meter dash, the 100-meter dash. But I'm not turning it on. The Olympics will not be coming through the TVs that's in this house. And the other people that's in this house, they don't. I'm really the only sports watcher. The only sports they care about is watching the Carolina Panthers. So I hope that you all will not be watching the Olympics on your TV set. Do not reward the companies that are sponsoring the Olympics. Don't do it. Don't reward the networks who are airing the Olympics while they ignore the suffering, the long-standing suffering of these non-white people under white supremacist rule in Brazil. All right, moving on to the next story. Let me go ahead and take a quick station identification break. Again, I'm only going to be on air for an hour. I got to stay to an hour. I got too much going on. Got to get the bugs worked out on the new social networks. Got to get the bugs worked out on the new radio streaming server. And so I just, you know, need to get busy on that as well. Not that I don't view this as important and coming on these airwaves and sharing the news with you. So you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'll be back on the other side of this quick break.
Now I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. I almost forgot. We also rolled out a new feature for the network using the web application called GroupMe. So if you follow, if you you could do it either online via your computers, desktops, iPads, all that kind of stuff, or you could do it through your phone if your phone gets text messages. So I will be sending out text messages in terms of if a program is on live, if a program has been canceled, if the network goes down, just little stuff like that. So people, you know, they won't be tuning in looking for a particular program and it's not on air and they don't be in the dark about what's going on. So I set that up. You can find a link to it on the Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page. It's a sticky post. It's going to always be there at the top, so you can find it that way. I just haven't had time to add it to our own networks, but I will be adding the links to our own networks. But also just wanted to let you know about that new feature. You can also chat with me, send, you know, if you don't want to call in, if you know, but you want to make a comment, you can do it through that feature as well. It does update in real time, and we've already had a few people, you know, take advantage of that, this free service, just to let you know, about network updates and the platform updates. So just want to make you aware of that. All right, next story. Next story, the Green Party nominated human rights activist Ajumu, I'm probably messing up his name, but Mr. Baraka, to be Dr. Jill Stein's vice presidential running mate during the party's convention in Houston, Texas, over the weekend. Before I get into this story, because I want to play this video that I posted to community.blacktalkradionetwork.com, and I want to share this video with you. Before I get to that, I had shared something about Mr. Baraka has said, allegedly. Now, I don't know if he really said this or not, but it appears that he may have referred to the CEO of USA Inc. as an Uncle Tom. Now, I don't use those terms no more, you know, but people know those terms. Those terms been in use for decades, who knows how long, probably going back to when Uncle Tom's Cabin was written. And I don't know how Uncle Tom got such a bad name, because it was Sambo that was the proxy racist, not Uncle Tom. All right. So, but anyway, it's not so much what he said. If he said that, I wouldn't have, you know, called him an Uncle Tom. I wouldn't have called him a coon. I wouldn't have, you know, because I'm a vice president. I'm running for vice president of the Green Party ticket. You know, I want to keep it real with the people, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want to be scripted like many of these politicians. But at the same time, you know, when you engaged in that sort of activity, you can't refer to the CEO of USA Inc. as Uncle Tom, because he has a lot of followers. He has a lot of people who give their energy to him. He has a lot of people that believe the hype. He has a lot of people that suffer from low self-esteem, and so they live vicariously through him and through the family in the White House. And, you know, because they say, you know, want to prove to white people that we can be, you know, just as good of an imperialist and oppressor as you, you know. So, yeah, you know, they celebrate that kind of stuff. So, but if I was Mr. Baraka, if he did indeed say that, you know, I wouldn't have said that. But everything else he said was true, though. Everything he talked about, the wars and the lying and all of that stuff, he was right on the policy issues. But what really got me, though, was, and again, I'm not trying to say anything bad about anyone, all right? We all were not blessed by the Creator with the same skills, with the same reasoning, with the same ability to I guess analyze things and work them out. We all are not at the same maturity level. And this comment this person left, I don't know how old this person was. They looked like they was in their 30s or whatnot, but they was like saying, you know, how dare he, I'm paraphrasing what they said, how dare he say that about President Obama, and now I'm going to delete everything I see that come across the timeline that pertains to Dr. Jill Stein. And this could have been one of them paid Hillary Clinton trolls and whatnot, but I just thought it was a very immature comment. I do acknowledge people are turned off by the name calling and whatnot, but if that's the reason why you are not going to take a look at the Green Party and their policies and look at, you know, their platform and support them so that we can provide some more parties as choices for the people, you know, and really at the state and local level is where the biggest impact would be, because they're going to shove Hillary Clinton down our throats. She already been chosen. You know, it's going to be massive voter fraud. Mark my words, massive voter fraud. She going to be CEO of USA Inc., and then the whole world is going to suffer as a result. So, you know, but on the local level, you know, that is what voting for Jill Stein for president would do. It would help the Green Party get ballot access in your state. And that's another party outside of the Republicans and the Democrats that has a very, very, very progressive platform. I have worked on Green Party campaigns. I worked on Tom Clements' U.S. Senate campaign from South Carolina. He was running. I forget the name of the guy he was running against, a racist Republican and what have you. I do know some former black members of the Black Panther Party are also members in the Green Party and part of, you know, the platform, or what I mean to say, they have some positions of power. And so they have chosen, you know, Brother Baraka as Jill's running mate. And I just think that, you know, people need to, if you're going to participate in politics, and I'm not blaming you if you don't, but if you are going to participate, man, you ought to be serious about it. And you ought to not be allowing white supremacists in media to sheep herd you into doing to endorsing who they gonna pick any damn way, you know. So I'm just saying. So anyway, let's take a listen to what Ajumu Baraka had to say about Dr. Jill Stein or the Green Party's platform. So let me just pull up that video for you. Again, it is, I've linked up to it. It is on community.blacktalkradionetwork.com. It's in the video section. All right, let me just run this right quick for you.
Owens and Thomas Owens. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. This is Breaking with Convention, War, Peace, and the Presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. Today we're looking at the weekend's Green Party convention in Houston, where Dr. Jill Stein accepted the party's presidential nomination. Her running mate is Ajumu Baraka, the founding executive director of the U.S. Human Rights Network. He spoke on Saturday in Houston.
Brothers and sisters, friends, we are at a critical moment, as Jill says, a transformational moment. We have tremendous opportunities before us. The American people are longing for a change. They are ready to do something different, and we have to be the vehicle for that difference. You know, there are difficult conditions that the people face. You know, they tell us that there has been a recovery and things are all right from the crisis. But you know what? There are millions of people who we work with, who haven't experienced any kind of recovery. There are millions of people who still don't have a place to lay their head at night. There's a reason why the fastest growing population of homeless people are black women with children. There are millions of people who would like to have a job where they can live a decent life, but they don't have it. And if they have a job, basically they are making starvation wages. They're working two and three different jobs just to make ends meet. But they tell us things are better. We have a situation where, as a consequence of austerity across this country, in communities where we live and work, they're closing down schools. People live in communities where they can't go to the store because there's no store. So you have like 48 million people who are living in situations where they are going to bed every night hungry. We have a situation where basically, even with so-called Obamacare, we have millions still
Sorry about that. I made a mistake. Let me get right back to that.
There are difficult conditions that the people face. You know, they tell us that there has been a recovery and things are all right from the crisis. But you know what? There are millions of people who we work with, who haven't experienced any kind of recovery. There are millions of people who still don't have a place to lay their head at night. There's a reason why the fastest growing population of homeless people are black women with children. There are millions of people who would like to have a job where they can live a decent life, but they don't have it. And if they have a job, then basically they are making starvation wages. They're working two and three different jobs just to make ends meet. But they tell us things are better. We have a situation where, as a consequence of austerity across this country, in communities where we live and work, they're closing down schools. People live in communities where they can't go to the store because there's no store. So you have like 48 million people who are living in situations where they are going to bed every night hungry. We have a situation where basically, even with so-called Obamacare, we have millions still without health care. These are difficult conditions. Difficult conditions. And people are wondering why. Why do we have to accept this kind of situation? And so when the two parties attempt to try to herd people based on fear, we find that today there are millions of people who are prepared to do something different, who are prepared to go another way. And we are going to be there to provide that opportunity for a new day and another way. My brothers and sisters, I've lived my entire life committed to the notion of independent politics, building alternative power. I understood that basically we had some real possibilities in advancing that struggle for political independence using the electoral process. And that's where Dr. Stein and the Green Party comes in for me personally. Because you all get it. Dr. Stein understands that you can't transform a system without struggle. That you have to organize the people. That the electoral process is in fact a process about how we build power. And for me, that is what is attractive to this process and was the basis for me accepting when Dr. Stein called and said, "Ajamu, are you ready to join me?" And I said, "Dr. Stein, I thought about it. I know where you're coming from, and you can count me in. I'm with you."
All right, we'll stop it there. This video is like 8 minutes long. Sorry for the little hiccup there. You can watch the rest of it. But, you know, again, for those who participate in politics, and I'm one of those, because I believe that politics controls every other people activity area on the planet. It is the politicians who write policy. It is the politicians who pass laws. It is the politicians who hire police chief slave catchers, and you know. So I do believe in, you know, trying to work through that avenue, but I'm not going to keep doing the same thing over and over, voting for a Democrat, voting for a Republican. How long have black folks been doing that, and how has it worked out for you? And then there's always the excuse of, well, the Republicans wouldn't let him do this, or the Democrats wouldn't let him do that, or they, you know, wasn't working together, and you know, but they do work together and pass a whole lot of stuff that harms a bunch of damn people. They really, really, really do. So, you know, I just don't believe that we could sit on the sidelines and sit on the outside looking in. And then, you know, the only thing that we do is react to the new laws that they pass. They pass some messed up laws, some anti-freedom laws, or they go and destroy the most prosperous country in Africa. And, well, nobody turned out for a mass demonstration about all those black lives being murdered, you know. And so, you know, I just don't see how you're going to change the Democratic Party and you're going to change the Republican Party. I mean, the Democrats pretty much just showed you how corrupt they are, and you got a behind the scenes look at how dirty they are, and just how criminal they are by the hackers. And, you know, they hacked into the DNC servers, hacked into Hillary Clinton servers, hacked into the State Department. Well, no, it wasn't the State Department. It was, her private service. She was doing all this State Department business on. So we got to look, man, to see that you ain't chose Hillary Clinton. Don't even sit up there and think that you did. I know they reported that a whole bunch of black women, for crazy reasons, voted for Hillary super predator Clinton and what have you, but y'all didn't pick her. Y'all did not pick her. Y'all didn't pick her. It was planned from Jump Street that she was going to get it, and they made it happen. So, you know, I just don't see how anybody can continue to support a political party or parties that have not done anything for you lately. And as I was having a private conversation, so I'm not going to say the person's name, the other day, you know, I was saying that I'd be so damn glad when CEO Obama is gone. I'd be so glad when he out of office. Then I don't have to look at him on TV telling lies to black people about white supremacists and what they're doing and confusing us. I just don't want to see it. No more. No more proxies, man. I prefer my racist to be white. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to be a proxy racist, then, you know, I don't even consider you to be black anymore, to be a part of my family. But we see that it just ain't working. So why continue to give your energy and your money to it? Why not try something different, do something different? I haven't voted for a Democrat or a Republican since, damn, I can't even remember. Maybe 2000, I think, is the last time I voted for a candidate for one of the major parties. And then I think back then I may have even voted for the third party dude, Ralph Nader or something. I just, just tired of these people lying, man. And then I'm going to believe the lies and just be voting, just to be voting, or because, at least they're not this person or that person. But damn it, they all is bad. They all corrupt. They all evil. Let's try something different, man. Anyway, let me move on to this next story. Talked about in the past, and I think we also discussed this on New Abolitionist Radio as well, but you have this judge who is a non-white judge. He will be classified as black. I don't know him enough to whether or not I can classify him as black or African-American, because in my mind, according to you know, my thoughts, there is a difference between a black person and an African-American. But He was acting like a black man when he stood up and he said, time out for all these racist white supremacist juries that these prosecutors keep impaneling to put all these black people into slavery and what have you. So, you know, he had dismissed a jury or two that was all white, you know, and he was like, this is crazy. I know that there are black people registered to vote, because see, a lot of people don't realize that's how you also get on the jury, is by being in a registered voter or have a, you know, valid driver license. It varies from state to state. But so, you know, like I've talked about before, I'll be 50 this year, man. I've only been called for jury duty once in my lifetime, and I've been registered and an active voter since I was 18. And I've only gotten called for jury duty once in 40 years, man. Not 40 years. What am I thinking about? In 20 something years, not once. There's a reason for that, I believe. So anyway, this is a story that's coming to you from the San Francisco Chronicle.com. They have suspended him, and he's agreed to this suspension because it appeared they were trying to kick him off the bench. Let me see. It goes on to say, avoiding possible banishment from the bench, a remorseful Kentucky judge was suspended Monday for racially charged comments aimed at a top prosecutor that stemmed from the judge's frustration over lack of minority representation on a jury panel. This is written by, I suspect, a racist suspect, and I suspect they practicing racism. Okay. Well, I don't see anything racially charged about his comments about them practicing racism. I mean, it's just he made a statement of damn fact. Anyway, it goes on to say, Ulu Stevens, a black circuit judge in Louisville, accepted a 90-day suspension without pay in an agreement approved by the Kentucky Judicial Conduct Commission. So, I mean, just look at this. Just think about this. And we know from all the innocent people in different cases that we examine over the years of how prosecutors engage in racism and white supremacy. They call it prosecutorial misconduct. So, you know, here is a prosecutor who just can't seem to find a black person to be on the jury and what have you. And he got called out for it because it wasn't just a one-time thing. And who does the Judicial Conduct Commission go after? Oh, they go after the black judge who called out the incorrectness. So, again, I'm not discouraging anyone for running for public office to become a judge, like here where I live in my county. You run for those offices. You don't even got to have a doggone law degree to be a judge in many of these states. All you got to do is win an election. So I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not telling you not to run for a political office, whether, you know, as a representative or as a judge or something like that. But just know you should go in already knowing that you're gonna meet much opposition if you try to practice justice. Because if you try to practice justice and there is not a majority of people in that place, in that institution, on that job that believe in practicing justice too, then you're gonna be on an island by your damn self. And let's just face it, many of us just don't simply want to get involved. We simply don't want to do nothing, and we will use cases like this as an excuse to not do anything to challenge the system of racism and white supremacy. We'll make up all kinds of excuses. Oh, they just too powerful. Oh, they just so much smarter than me. Oh, you know, look at what they did to him. He could have lost his job, and then how he's going to pay for his bills. And see, this is how white supremacy as a system continues to function. It's because so many of us are participating. We're willingly participating because we're going to think we're going to get some butter biscuits as rewards, or we're passively participating by seeing something that is wrong, that is injustice, that is racist, and we will act like we didn't see it and hurry up and get gone and out of sight. Because we don't want to lose anything, to gain everything, to gain justice. So I'm just coming to this viewpoint. I'm coming to this thought, I don't know, or theory, I guess is the proper terminology. I'm just coming to this theory, man, that we can't just be putting it all on the white supremacists. You just can't put it. Look, there are very few white supremacists. And when I say white supremacists, I'm talking about people with money and power. I ain't talking about the little dirty redneck that live up the street with the Confederate flag on his dirty ass truck. That ain't what I'm talking about. Ain't nothing supreme about him. Okay, I'm talking about the real white supremacists, the ones with the power to make things happen. All right, it's not a whole lot of them. It's not a whole lot of them, and there should be no reason that they dominate the globe like they do, except for everybody else is helping them. And when I say everybody, I don't mean everybody, but I mean enough people, far more people than there are white supremacists are down with the white supremacist agenda, whether they are down with it out of fear, out of coercion, because they've been threatened if they don't do this or do that, then we gonna fire you or this or that, then you still down with white supremacy if you don't take a stand and practice justice. It's just that simple, man. When we get a majority of people, and I'm saying all people, not just black people, not just Indians, not just Hispanics, not just whatever their nationality is or whatever. No, all people, including white people. When y'all stop going along with the racists on the job, with the white supremacists in power, then we will see a reversal of fortune. Otherwise, just get used to it, man. Well, hell, we already used to it. And that might be the problem, too, is that we're just so used to it. We've adapted to it, you know. We've adapted to it, and so we just accept it as things. It's just the way of the world. This is the order of the universe. I'm just going to accept my place as a victim in it. Time out for that, man. It's time out for that. It's not. They are not going to kill themselves. They're not going to stop practicing racism. They're not going to stop killing other people. So, you know, we can't be their tools of racism. We can't allow ourselves to be tools of racism now, which is why I came up with the term proxy racist. We just can't do it, man. So the judge, he took a stand. Now he's trying to hang on to his job by agreeing to this suspension. And I'm not going to blame him for accepting the suspension because, you know, maybe he's looking at it like, well, I need to keep hang on to this position because at least I can help individuals that come into my courtroom or what have you. But then again, at the end of the day, y'all, this whole system got to go. This whole system got to go. I can't tell you how many times he has done bench trials and convicted people on nonviolent so-called drug charges and whatnot, you know, carrying out the white supremacist so-called war on drugs, which is really a war on people. So at the end of the day, you know, we still, you know, you may say I'm a good cop. I don't be out here beating people. I don't be out here cussing people. I'm respectful in all my interactions. I'm not always looking to write a ticket. I will give people warnings and let them go. But, you know, but are you still arresting people and charging people on stuff that aren't crimes because there's no victims? There's no victims. Like, you know, a Korean gang said about her car not having a tag on it and what happened. There's no victim. How's there a crime? Who am I harming? I ain't harming nobody. But we know they looking at it, well, you harming the state by not paying money to have a doggone tag on your car. Again, all this stuff is we paying for, we funding white supremacy, man. But that wasn't actually, I wouldn't look at that as no crime. Why do we have to register cars? They didn't always register cars and what have you. I don't want to sound facetious or anything like that, but I mean, think about things. Some states, man, like when I was living in Arizona, you don't even have to have your car inspected or anything like you did here in North Carolina, where you got to go through all these different tests and stuff before you can get a sticker from the state to drive your car on the road or whatnot. Well, hell, in Arizona, they ain't go through all that. And I saw a couple of jalopies on the doggone road, too. But I'm like, damn, they seem to be doing just fine without those laws, you know, on the books. So, again, where is the crime? There's no victim. It is not us who are victimizing the state. It's the state that's victimizing us. So, anyway, I just wish him the best. But, you know, he may decide that he needs to find another line of work and not work in the place where they send people to slavery. You know, I mean, I know we got real criminals out there and they got to be dealt with. But I'm telling you, this system is corrupt and he knows it. And that's why he did what he did. And that's why they doing what they doing and suspending him and was trying to get rid of him and still may. So anyway, let me move on. I do got so much work to do on these various platforms. Let me move on to the last story. Residents are questioning the timing of misconduct charges by state prosecutors 6 months after a former black police chief by the name of Kelvin Sewell step down. So I'm just going to allow you to listen to this report. If I'm not mistaken, I think this is somewhere in the South. I mean, but that's not really telling you anything, huh? But let's see if they mention it during this video. I'll go ahead and pull this up from the Real News.
This is Taya Graham reporting for the Real News Network in Pocomoke City, Maryland.
God, I'm asking you to be with us, Father. God, to walk with us. God, to talk for us. God, to see for us, God. God, let us go before people, God. Allow them to see you, God. God, in your name I pray. Amen.
Summer has settled onto the streets and byways of Pocomoke on Maryland's lower eastern shore. But the calm belies the turmoil that still roils the town over the firing of their first black police chief, Kelvin Sewell, last year. Last week, when the Citizens for a Better Pocomoke gathered for their regular meeting, there was a palpable sense of concern that the continuing controversy over his dismissal has changed the town.
Community has been violated. And what? Yes. And it's just like, and I'm going to tell you, it's the psyche of this community is really in turmoil.
Sewell claimed the firing was retaliation for refusing to fire two of his black officers. The federal EEOC, which enforces discrimination laws, agreed. But since then, Sewell and his lieutenant Lionel Green have been indicted by state prosecutor Emmett Davitt for misconduct in office. Charges stemming from an accident 2 years ago involving parked cars and a driver who fell asleep. And now the residents who support Sewell are grappling with the implications and how the removal of Sewell still impacts their lives.
I saw something the other day where there was an incident that took place here.
Oh, you want to see?
Three in the last 8 days.
Last Friday.
A week ago, residents say a massive fight occurred. Dozens of young teens, including girls, descended on 4th Street and battled for at least an hour.
Those girls were really fighting. I mean, bottom line, they were fighting. My sister and I tried to break them up, and I was kind of able to separate them and tell them it was crazy, it was stupid, what are you doing? And I mean, the streets were literally full.
100 people.
15 minutes later, the police call comes. And I said to him, I said, where you all been? This has been going on for 15 minutes.
The fight required the intervention of multiple police agencies. But for many who attended the meeting, it's a sign the town is changing, which is why residents also expressed concerns about the indictment, both the timing and the nature of the alleged crime.
Chief Sewell was the piece of wood between the gap
of the police and the citizens of Pocomo. We don't respect the police anymore. These kids in the streets do not respect the police anymore. They respected Chief Sewell.
Prosecutors allege Sewell helped a black resident avoid the consequences of the car accident. But residents wonder about the timing of the charges, which came 6 months after he filed a lawsuit claiming discrimination and 2 years after the crash occurred.
The people that are in the lawsuit that's being charged in the lawsuit, I felt like they were trying to come back at the chief to try to indict his character.
We asked both state prosecutors and town officials for comment. They declined. For now, residents say they will continue to support Sewell with hope that he will someday return to the community which wants, and they say needs, him back.
I would say 90% of the Pocomo community stepping right behind him. There was no doubt in my mind when I first heard it that it was a corrupt cop. How ridiculous does that really sound?
We know the tactics and the ploys of the cronies, so to speak, up at City Hall and in the Worcester County government. We know all the tricks of the trade by now. We've been dealing with them for a substantial period of time, and we know that Chief Sewell is telling the truth.
This is Taya Graham and Stephen Janis reporting for the Real News Network in Pocomoke City, Maryland. For full disclosure, Stephen Janis wrote a book with Kelvin D. Sewell.
All right, so that's happening in Maryland. Lots of stuff been happening in Maryland here lately. So, again, here. Now, just think about what they said. They're charging him with misconduct because he didn't charge a person with reckless driving who fell asleep and hit a parked car or something and didn't give them a ticket. Well, I thought police had that sort of discretion, you know? I thought they had that sort of discretion. So how is that misconduct? Well, that's because white supremacists want to target a black man who apparently was, you know, liked by the black community and wasn't preying upon the black community there. So they, you know, got rid of him, and now they want to put him into slavery and what have you. Now think about FBI Director Robert Comey giving a press conference telling you all the laws that Hillary Clinton broke in pertaining to the Espionage Act, pertaining to the Records Act, and how she lied for an entire year. But then at the end of the day, we're not going to charge her. We're not recommending charges. Well, damn, the chief didn't recommend charges for this person who hit a car, obviously. How is that criminal? If that's criminal, it's even more criminal what the FBI director did. It's even more criminal what the U.S. Department of Justice did in not prosecuting the woman where there is clear evidence of crimes of the highest order. So you see how they do. You see how they do. So anyway, again, I'm not telling anyone not to become a police chief or join the police. I'm not telling you to not run for a political office and whatnot. What I am telling you is it's not going to be easy changing stuff from the inside. It might be easier just to scrap the entire system and start over from scratch. So, anyway, those are my thoughts. Coming up at 6 o'clock, just about 45 minutes, we will have some more live streaming. Tando Radio Show will be live streaming this evening on this Monday, August the 8th. I think he will be talking about, well, not that I think. I know what he'll be talking about because I'm the technical producer. But anyway, he'll be talking about Dr. Sebi, I think it's how you pronounce his name, who was a holistic doctor, teacher. I've never heard of him before, but I've been seeing a lot of people that, you know, I'm connected to through social media. Well, not a whole lot, but more than a few people talk about him. I even got personal messages, you know, people asking me if I heard about his death. And I was like, what? I don't even know who that is. And so apparently he was well known, just not by me, you know, but he was a well known a black health practitioner and who lived in, I believe it was Honduras where he was born. I'm not sure exactly, but that is what they will be talking about today. He was found dead in jail under mysterious circumstances. They trying to say he passed away from pneumonia. I think he was in his 80s or something. So anyway, I am not the person to ask about that particular story, but Brother Dave will be talking about what this man meant to a lot of people, obviously, in his teachings on you know, natural health cures and things of that nature. So again, that's Tando Radio Show coming up at 6:00 p.m. Eastern Time on Black Talk Radio Network, providing you with new black media for the new millennium. Remember, the crowdfunding campaign is ongoing. Gotta support this work if you want to see it continue. Gotta support these platforms if they are to stay up. Okay? So please consider making a donation to the Black Talk Media Project. You can go to the crowdfunding black media pages on blacktalkradionetwork.com as well as blacktalkmediaproject.org. If you one of those people that say, you know, I don't want to give something for nothing, well, I would say you getting something because you tuning in every day. You know, I mean, damn, these stats I'm looking at say 100,000 people tuned in last month. So, you know, you obviously getting something. But, you know, if it take a little extra incentive for you to support our work, we got T-shirts that say Black Radio Stations Matter. Okay, that's not enough. Okay, you could just give $24 a year and be part of this new social network that we have set up and building on to. All right, so support the work any way you can. I appreciate everybody who has donated over the years that I have been running the Black Talk Media Project. Without those donations, you know, I would have gave up on this a long time ago. I'd have been like, I can't be the only one investing just my money. I'm investing my time, but I just can't be paying for everything myself when so many people are benefiting from it. And there were times I was going to shut it down. But then, you know, people would talk to me and donations would come in. And then I wouldn't have to, you know, be struggling to pay the bills associated with the platform. So I appreciate everybody who has donated and kept us on, kept our work going for these past 8 years. Going on 9 years. No, it'll be 8 years, I believe. Yes, 2016. It'll be 8 years in November. All right. So recognize the fact that you do live on a battlefield behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. They killing people, they enslaving people, and you know, the only way that we can prevent this from happening is to make great sacrifices for the future, for our children. And in case you're wondering what I'm talking about, read in between the lines. Peace and blessings to all.